理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 9. Meg's Visit. It's so nice that Annie Moffat did not forget her promise to have you visit. A whole 2 weeks of fun will be splendid,
said Joe one morning while watching Meg pack for her visit.
And such lovely weather. I'm so glad of that, added Beth.
I wish I was going to have a fine time and wear all these nice things, said Amy.
Well, I wish you were all going, but as you can't, I'll tell you all about my adventures when I come back, said Meg, looking at the old dresses she was packing. I wonder if I shall ever be happy enough to have many lovely new dresses as Annie Moffat has. You said the other day that you'd be perfectly happy if you could only go to Annie Moffat's,
Beth observed in her quiet way.
So I did. Well, I am happy, and I won't worry. But it does seem that the more one gets, the more one wants, she responded cheerfully.
The next day was fine, and Meg departed in style for 2 weeks of comfort and pleasure. Mrs. March had agreed to the visit rather unwillingly, fearing that Margaret would come back more discontented than when she went.After experiencing such wealth and ease. Meg wished desperately to go, however, and her mother at last agreed, thinking a little pleasure seemed so delightful after the difficult winter. The Moffats were quite fashionable, and simple Meg was a bit shocked at the grand house and family. But they were kind people, and soon put their guest at ease.The more she saw of Annie Moffat's pretty things, the more she envied her and wished to be rich. Home now looked bare and depressing as she thought of it, but she did not have much time for thinking of home, as Annie was always taking her shopping, walking, riding, and visiting, calling her Daisy instead of Meg. Annie had many friends and knew how to entertain them.When the evening for the small party came, Meg decided that the one dress she had been wearing was unacceptable, compared with Annie's new ones. No one said a word about it, but Sally offered her another dress for the evening. But Meg saw only pity for her poverty in the kind offer. Soon, however, the maid brought in a box of flowers for Meg, which had come from Lori.
What fun! Who are they from? We didn't know you had a lover, cried the girls.
The note is from Mother, and the flowers from Lori, said Meg simply.
Oh, indeed,
said Annie, giving Meg a curious look. The note had cheered her a great deal, and the flowers as well. She enjoyed herself very much that evening, for she danced and sang.And someone said she had beautiful eyes. So she had a very nice time, till she heard a bit of conversation that disturbed her. She was sitting down after dancing for quite some time, when she heard two voices speaking on the other side of the flowery wall.
How old is he?
16 or 17, replied another voice.
It would be grand for one of those girls to marry him. His grandfather is quite fond of them as well.
Mrs. March has made her plans for the girl, though a bit early, said Mrs. Moffat.
She told that lie about her mother sending the note, and was quite embarrassed when the flowers came, poor thing. She'd be so nice if she was only more stylish.Do you think she'd be offended if we offered to lend her a dress for Thursday?
Asked another voice.
She's proud, but I don't believe she'd mind, for that old dress she has now may be torn tonight.
We'll see. I shall ask young Lawrence to come on Thursday as well.
Someone then came to ask Meg to dance, so she heard no more, but was quite upset the rest of the night.Though she refused to show it. That night, Meg had difficulty sleeping and woke up more anxious and upset than when she went to sleep. The next morning at breakfast, however, Meg realized, as she looked around at the other girls present, that they treated her with more respect, took quite an interest in what she said, and looked at her with eyes full of curiosity. All this surprised and pleased her, and put her more at ease for the coming party on Thursday. Sally informed her that she planned to invite your friend, Mr. Lawrence, though Meg again explained he was simply a friend rather than a lover. Meg was feeling so cheerful before the party on Thursday that Sally finally convinced her to wear one of her beautiful silk dresses. Meg couldn't refuse the offer so kindly made, particularly after Sally and her sisters promised to make a little beauty of her. That evening, the girls made Meg into a fine lady, curling her hair, making up her face, and giving her earrings, a necklace, and bracelets to wear.
"I'm afraid to go down to the party," said Meg to Sally, after seeing in the mirror that she was a little beauty, but not finding herself as she looked.
"You don't look a bit like yourself, but you are very nice," returned Sally, trying not to care that Meg looked prettier than she did.
That evening, Meg danced and laughed with young gentlemen, but suddenly stopped when she saw Lori. He was staring at her in surprise and disapproval.
"I'm glad you came. I was afraid you wouldn't," she said, trying to look confident in her new look.
"Joe wanted me to come and tell her how you looked. So I did," answered Lori.
"What will you tell her?" asked Meg, full of curiosity.
"I will say that I didn't know you, as you look so grown up and unlike yourself. I'm quite afraid of you."
"Oh," Meg said nervously after a pause. "Oh, Lori, I want you to do me a favor. Please don't tell them at home about my dress tonight. They won't understand, and it'll worry Mother. I will tell them myself all about it, but I'd rather do it myself."
"I promise that I won't say a word to them."
"Thank you. Just say that I looked happy and well and was having a good time."
Later that evening, as Meg was resting in one of the side rooms after dancing, she heard someone pass by saying,
"They are making a fool of that little girl. I wanted you to see her, but they have spoiled her entirely. She's nothing but a doll tonight."
"Oh, dear," said Meg to herself. "I wish I'd worn my own things. Then I would not have felt so uncomfortable and ashamed of myself."
The next Saturday, Meg went home, quite eager to be with her family again.
"It does seem pleasant to be quiet and not have company manners all the time. Home is a nice place, though it isn't splendid," said Meg, the day after her return home, sitting on the sofa with her mother and Joe.
Meg had told everyone her adventures and what a charming time she had had. But after the younger girls went to bed and she was left alone with her mother and Joe, she decided she must explain what had happened at the parties.
"Marmy, I need to tell you something."
"I thought so. What is it, dear?"
Meg then explained what had happened at the two parties and how terrible she had felt after the second. Her mother was quite worried, however, after hearing that the other girls believed she and Lori to be lovers.
"Now, my dear, I want you to forget that foolish talk as soon as you can. I was very unwise to let you go among people of whom I know so little. I am more sorry than I can express for the trouble it has caused you, Meg. Now, think nothing more of what those foolish people said. One thing to remember, my girls, Mother is always here for you to trust, and you children will always be the pride and comfort of our lives.